You're listening to the Worldwide Sports Radio Network.
Pull it back, Kobe.
Welcome to Wise Guys, These Guys Know Sports, here on this Monday, August the 23rd, in the house with your boy Trey Larkins on the Wise Guys Show. Everybody remember, go and follow Wise Guys on Twitter at WiseGuys_H, also on Facebook, Wise Guys. Also, be sure to follow Wise Guys on Instagram at These Guys Know Sports. You live here with me on the Worldwide Sports Network. Go and follow the Worldwide Sports Network as well, on all the latest platforms around the world. I'm in the house Monday, feeling real good. Happy birthday to the great late Kobe Bryant. He would have been 43 years old today. And then tomorrow is Mamba Day. So y'all know it's zero, you know, it's August 24th. It's Mamba Day tomorrow, Tuesday. I'm excited about it, you know. Happy birthday to the GOAT, though. You know, like, RIP to the greatest to ever do it in my eyes. You know, I love MJ. I love LeBron. But in my opinion, Kobe Bryant is the greatest I ever seen do it. And, you know, when I talk about basketball, I'm talking about when I was able to really understand the game. When I was coming up in the 90s, I didn't understand the game like I did in the early 2000s and, you know, early 2010s. I didn't understand the game in the 90s. I understood the game more, you know, in the mid, you know, like 2004, 2005, and 2010. I understood the game more in Kobe's era, more so than Michael Jordan's era. I respect the hell out of MJ. Y'all saw on my social media, I went to Chicago a few weeks ago, so I got a chance to visit, you know, the GOAT himself, Michael Jordan. When I talk about the greatest of all time, I always talk about in your era when you understood the game. That's why I understand why a lot of young players now, I understand why they say LeBron is their GOAT, because that's who they grew up watching, you know, when they started understanding basketball and playing basketball at a high level. When I started playing basketball, you know, in junior high and high school, Kobe Bryant was my GOAT. I was watching Kobe win championships after Shaq with Paul Gasol, Andrew Bynum, Trevor Ariza, Meta World Peace, okay? So Kobe is my GOAT. So happy birthday to the great Kobe Bryant. And like I said, I'm excited for Mamba Day tomorrow. So I got an action jam-packed show. Who's going to win a Super Bowl first? Will it be Josh Allen? Will it be Baker Mayfield? Or will it be Lamar Jackson? Also, the NBA 2K ratings came out last week, and Kevin Durant says he should be ranked 99. That's his opinion. I'll give my opinion on whether or not Kevin Durant should be ranked 99. Also, Masai Ujiri, he is the general manager for the Toronto Raptors. He said that Kyle Lowry is the greatest Raptor in franchise history. So I'm going to give y'all my opinion on that as well. Do I believe Kyle Lowry is the greatest Raptor in franchise history? But we're going to start off in the NBA and start off in Golden State with the unmaking of a dynasty. So last week, Draymond Green and Kevin Durant, they went on Bleacher Report. It was on Bleacher Report. They were on Draymond Green's, his show. I guess he got a show, whatever. And they were talking about the 2018 dispute and how the Golden State Warriors as an organization mishandled the situation that took place with Kevin Durant and Draymond Green. So, as y'all know, in 2018, the Warriors had just won two championships after Kevin Durant had decided to join forces with the Golden State Warriors. And so, regular season game, Warriors in LA to take on the LA Clippers, and Draymond Green had got a rebound. It's a late game situation, very intense moment. In this particular game, I think Steph Curry was out. Draymond Green caught a rebound. Kevin Durant won the basketball. He was hot. He was feeling it. And they got into a dispute, got into a big argument. Draymond went on the bench and called Kevin Durant the B word. And they had a major dispute amongst each other. And then y'all know later on that season, the Warriors did end up getting to the NBA Finals. But Kevin Durant got injured. I believe it was game five against the Toronto Raptors and Kawhi Leonard when Kawhi won his second championship with the Toronto Raptors. So everybody wanted to know and everybody wanted to hear this, you know, conversation between Draymond Green and Kevin Durant. And so this was Kevin Durant. He said, quote, in the conversation with Draymond Green, he said, it was the way that everybody, including Steve Kerr, acted like it didn't happen. This was on Chips on Bleacher Report. Okay, so it was Chips. This is on Chips on Bleacher Report. Kevin Durant saying it was the way that everybody, including Steve Kerr, acted like it didn't happen. So that was Draymond Green and Kevin Durant speaking about the situation that took place in Golden State. So everybody was talking about, is it fair to blame Steve Kerr for the fallout in Golden State with Kevin Durant ultimately departing Golden State and signing with the Brooklyn Nets? So everybody was talking about that. So I want to say, I don't believe Steve Kerr is to blame, nor do I believe general manager Bob Myers is to blame for the fallout in Golden State and the altercation that took place between Kevin Durant and Draymond Green. Let me say that again. I don't believe Kevin Durant left Golden State because of the fallout. I'm sorry. Let me say this again. I don't believe that Steve Kerr or general manager Bob Myers is the reason why Kevin Durant decided to depart Golden State. I don't believe that's the reason why he decided to leave. It was because of how Steve Kerr and Bob Myers handled that particular situation. But I'll get into that here shortly. First and foremost, I want to give Kevin Durant and Draymond Green a ton of credit for doing this conversation and having this face-to-face conversation for everyone to see. I want to give them credit because you don't typically see players who still are currently playing have these type of heart-to-heart conversations. So I commend Draymond Green and Kevin Durant for having this face-to-face, heart-to-heart conversation for everyone to see and everyone to dissect and give their opinion on. You don't see this typically with players. I think Kobe and Shaq, they had a conversation, you know, after Shaq had already retired. I think Kobe might have been retired as well. I'm not sure, but I know Shaq was retired. You know, you don't see players, you know, typically have these type of face-to-face conversations about things or arguments and disagreements that they may have gotten into while they play together, especially while they're still in the league. You don't normally see that. So I give a ton of credit to Draymond Green and Kevin Durant for taking the time to speak about this particular situation and other things involving Kevin Durant during his tenure in Golden State and his overall career. I give him a ton of credit because, you know, a lot of times these players, the reason why they have the issues that they have with the media is because they feel like the media speaks for them instead of actually letting them speak for themselves. So, you know, in this particular conversation, Kevin Durant and Draymond Green, they both had an opportunity to speak for themselves. So I give them a ton of credit for that. And I believe in the media, we need to do a better job of allowing these players to speak for themselves. That's why I always say, I'm in the media and I don't got no issue with a player or a coach coming on Wise Guys and talking to me about whatever it is that need to be discussed about. If it's a report that's going out there, that's about a particular player or a coach, I have no issue with the player or coach coming on Wise Guys and discussing the issue with me. I'm a man. I can take it. I can take whatever criticism you throw my way, but come on my show and talk about it with me. Don't go on social media and try to talk about me behind my back. And if you do that, I'll just let you know, hey, I have a platform. You can come on Wise Guys on the Worldwide Sports Network and let me know how you feel about how I reacted to a particular report, because I'm only reacting to what's reported. I'm only reacting to what's reported. So, I'm okay with players, coming on my show and talking to me about something I reported and me giving my opinion on. I have no problem with that. So I want to get that out there. But when it comes to the situation with Kevin Durant and the Golden State Warriors, I don't believe Kevin Durant left Golden State because of his altercation involving Draymond Green. I believe Kevin Durant already had his mind made up that he was going to leave Golden State before that last season took place. I don't think the altercation was what basically deterred, this is the breaking point for Kevin Durant. I think Kevin Durant already had his mind made up that he was leaving Golden State. He had already accomplished what he wanted to accomplish by winning two championships back-to-back, by winning two finals MVPs back-to-back. So I believe Kevin Durant had already made up in his mind that he wanted a new challenge and he wanted to go to a different team so he can be the reason why that team wins a championship and he can be undeniable the best player on that team. Even though I think he was the best player on Golden State, people always say that, oh, you went to a dynasty that was already established. I think Kevin Durant already knew in his mind that he wanted to go and go to a situation where he was the player who recruited other free agents to come and play with him and basically was that franchise player from the beginning of the, era when they were winning championships to the end. Because we know in Golden State, as great as Kevin Durant was, he was never going to get the love and respect that Steph Curry got. It was never going to happen because Steph Curry has been there since the beginning of his career. We know Kevin Durant is a better player than Steph Curry, but he was never going to get the love from the Golden State Warriors fans that Steph Curry got. It wasn't going to happen. So I believe Kevin Durant, he wants that love and respect that that Steph Curry got with Golden State Warrior fans. And he knows if he wins a championship with the Brooklyn Nets, he will get all of the respect that he deserves. We know the caliber of player that Kevin Durant is deserves to get that love and respect. But because the Warriors were already an established dynasty, Kevin Durant was never going to be respected like Steph Curry was in Golden State. It didn't matter if he won 4, 6, or 8 championships, and he was the finals MVP for every championship that he won in Golden State. He was never going to receive the love that Steph Curry got from Golden State Warriors fans. It wasn't going to happen. Same thing I say about LeBron James in Miami. LeBron James with the 4 straight finals in Miami. He was a 2-time finals MVP with the Miami Heat. But he will never be respected like the great Dwayne Wade in South Beach. It will never happen. In Cleveland, it happened for LeBron James when he won his championship with the Cavaliers in 2016. But it wasn't going to happen in Miami, no matter how many championships he won. So Kevin Durant realized that before that final season in Golden State, and that's why he departed Golden State for Brooklyn. Now, the situation involving Kevin Durant and Draymond Green, that's something that I'm surprised Kevin Durant and Draymond Green still have a relationship to this day. And I know everyone's going to say, well, life is short. You're supposed to forgive and forget and, you know, let things go. You can't disrespect me and say is calling me out of my name and calling me the B word. You can call me overweight. You can call me a geek with my glasses. You can call me plenty of things. But one thing I will never allow you to do is disrespect me by calling me out of my name, saying the B word, or disrespecting my family. Those are things that there is no coming back from. So I'm surprised that Kevin Durant and Draymond Green still have a relationship, but I respect the fact that they were able to get over their differences. Kevin Durant's better than me, because when you call me out of my name, you call someone the B word, those are fighting words. Those are, we got to move furniture immediately before we can have any conversation. And even if we was to have a conversation, I will never trust you again. I will never trust you again. So I give Kevin Durant a lot of credit for being able to accept Draymond Green's apology and move on with their friendship. But when it comes to the overall reason why Kevin Durant left Golden State, it wasn't because of the altercation involving him and Draymond. He was already leaving Golden State before the season started. He just wanted another opportunity to win another championship and be able to three-peat, something that rarely ever happens in the NBA. That's why he returned for his third season in Golden State. He already knew he was done with that challenge and ready to move on to different challenges in his career. So I don't believe Steve Kerr and Bob Myers were the fallout. Draymond Green and Kevin Durant said, well, I think Draymond said that he told the front office, he said, hey, y'all going to mess this up. No, Draymond, it was already going to happen anyway. KD was already going to leave Golden State. But it's just like any relationship. You could be in a relationship for years. And because you may have children with the person, because you may have financial attachments to a person, you may stay in a relationship knowing that you're going to leave the relationship at some point in the foreseeable future. But there are times where things can happen and things can take place where it just confirms everything for you. And you say, I was leaving this situation anyway. This just was the icing on the cake. That was the situation involving Draymond Green and Kevin Durant. The altercation was the icing on the cake. It was already happening anyway. It was already happening. And that's why I said relationships. You already can know 3 months, 6 months, or even a year or a year and a half, depending on what you have attached to the person that you're with. You may already know that you're leaving this relationship. And then there could be certain things that you find out that is the icing on the cake that says, okay, I was already out before. I'm damn sure out the door now. And that's why you saw Kevin Durant in the immediate aftermath, after the timeout and after the argument with Draymond, you can hear him clearly say, that's why I'm out. He was done. He was done in Golden State. But the argument with Draymond was icing on the cake. Now, another thing I want to say is the reason why the Golden State Warriors weren't able to three-peat had nothing to do with the argument between Draymond Green and Kevin Durant. They didn't three-peat because Kevin Durant got injured in game 5 of the NBA Finals against the Toronto Raptors. He went down. Klay Thompson went down in game 6. The reason why they lost in the NBA Finals had nothing to do with his argument with Draymond Green. They would have beaten the Toronto Raptors had Klay Thompson and Kevin Durant been healthy. Quit trying to tell us the reason why you weren't able to three-peat was because of the disagreement between Kevin Durant and Draymond Green. I'm not buying that. The reason why you didn't three-peat was because of your injuries on your team, KD, Draymond. It had nothing to do with the altercation that took place. So that's one thing I wanted to get out on my chest as well. I think they didn't three-peat because of the injuries. Because if Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson are both healthy, they would have swept the Toronto Raptors. With all due respect to Kawhi Leonard, two-time finals MVP, two-time NBA champion, one of the best two-way players in the NBA, he would have gotten swept by the Golden State Warriors had Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson not got injured, period. So those are my takeaways from the conversation between Draymond Green and Kevin Durant. I don't believe Steve Kerr or Bob Myers are to blame for the fallout in Golden State. Kevin Durant already had his mind made up. He was leaving Golden State. He wanted a new challenge, and he wants to be the reason why fans respect him at building a dynasty. And that's exactly what's taking place right now in Brooklyn. If the Brooklyn Nets go on to win two or three championships in this era with James Harden, Kyrie Irving, and Kevin Durant will get majority of the credit for starting that dynasty. Okay? So that's one thing I wanted to get off my chest. Everybody, remember, go and follow Wise Guys on Twitter at WiseGuys_H. Also on Facebook, Wise Guys. Be sure to follow Wise Guys on Instagram at These Guys No Sports. You're on the Worldwide Sports Network with Trey Larkins on the Wise Guys Sports. So let's switch gears. Let's talk about Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. So Aaron Rodgers recently had a conversation with Peter King, and he told Peter King that he nearly retired before the season. He went on to say that he doesn't want a farewell tour. He also says that, you know, retirement was something he was seriously considering with the Green Bay Packers. And so it got me to thinking about Aaron Rodgers and the offseason that was toxic between him and the Green Bay Packers, because we know on draft day, reports came out of Green Bay that Aaron Rodgers wanted out. And then there were reports about how Aaron Rodgers wanted general manager Brian Gutekunst fired from Green Bay as well. And so it was a toxic offseason, to say the least, when it comes to Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. So should we expect this to be Rodgers' last season in the NFL? Absolutely not. I don't buy this idea that Aaron Rodgers was ever going to retire. The man is fresh off an NFL MVP season, where he had 48 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, threw for over 4,200 passing yards, completing 71% of his passes in a season where he led the Packers to a second consecutive NFC championship game. Aaron Rodgers won NFL MVP in 2011 and 2014. You can make a legitimate argument that his 2020 season was the best season of his career. He played with a chip on his shoulder after the Packers moved up in the draft to draft Jordan Love. Now, not only did the Packers draft Aaron Rodgers' replacement, they moved up in the draft to draft Jordan Love. They moved up. Okay? It's just like if you are in a relationship and you're trying to replace your partner, and the person that you're trying to replace your partner with, you move to that particular person's city or state. So now, not only did you replace your partner, you moved to another city or state where the replacement is at. You left your partner behind. And that's exactly what the Green Bay Packers did. They moved up in the draft to select Jordan Love, right? But why would Aaron Rodgers retire after the season he just had? When do players in sports retire after winning an MVP? Now, somebody let me know. I don't know if it's ever been done before, but I don't recall players in sports, when they're playing at a high level, winning MVPs, retiring before the next season. So I don't buy this idea that Aaron Rodgers was truly planning on retiring. He only used the retirement card as leverage once he realized the Packers weren't going to trade him. Once he knew, okay, they're not going to trade me, so now I have to threaten to retire in order to get what I want. That's when you saw Aaron Rodgers use the leverage card of saying, hell, I retire if you don't trade me. But Aaron, I love you, bro. You've done a great job leading the Packers organization as the quarterback for 17 years. I believe Aaron Rodgers is the greatest player in franchise history. He's better than Brett Favre. He's better than Bart Starr. And I think from a talent perspective, Aaron Rodgers is the greatest quarterback in NFL history. Just talent. I ain't talking about accomplishments. I'm talking about strictly talent. But Aaron, stop with the idea that you are going to retire. Stop trying to sell this on us on that idea, because I'm not buying it. You were never going to retire. So I'm at a point with Aaron Rodgers where, Aaron, as a Packers fan, as a fan of football, it's time to shut the hell up and play football. You went to the NFC Championship in back-to-back seasons. You weren't able to get over the hump in back-to-back seasons. In 2019, you lost in the NFC Championship to the San Francisco 49ers. Last year, Tom Brady came to Lambeau Field and beat you in your house in the NFC Championship. So I'm at a point with Aaron where, as a Packers fan, I want Aaron to shut up and play football and get us over the hump and back to the Super Bowl. I don't want to hear no more about you were thinking about retirement. I don't want to hear no more about you hosting Jeopardy. It's time to play football. And Aaron, you've done this at a very, very elite level as the starting quarterback for the Green Bay Packers. Get back to what you do best. Because what you do best, it's not selling us on the idea that you were really seriously considering retiring. It's not hosting Jeopardy. As great as you did doing that, because you did a hell of a job hosting Jeopardy, but you're better as a quarterback in the NFL. So get back to doing what you do best, and that's playing the quarterback position for the Green Bay Packers. Now, another question that I saw, I was watching First Take, and they had a question where they were talking about Aaron Rodgers. And they said, did Aaron Rodgers revolutionize the way we view the quarterback position? I believe Aaron Rodgers revolutionized the way we view the quarterback position. Besides Patrick Mahomes, no other quarterback in NFL history has the skill set that Aaron Rodgers has. The man is a three-time NFL MVP. He's a Super Bowl champion, Super Bowl MVP. We have never seen a quarterback that can fling the football like Aaron Rodgers. He has 412 touchdown passes to 89 interceptions. That's nearly a 5-to-1 touchdown to interception ratio. He has the best passer rating in NFL history. And he's played at an elite level for multiple years. There were years in the past where the Green Bay Packers didn't deserve to be in the position that they were in. It happened in the 2016 season. I believe that was a season where, at one point, the Packers were 4-6, and Aaron Rodgers said, "We're going to run the table." I believe he said that. That's what I believe. We got a few Aaron Rodgers quotes. We got relax, R-E-L-A-X. We got believe, run the table. And in 2016, he did just that. At one point, the Packers were 4-6. They finished the regular season 10-6. So they won 6 straight games and were hot heading into the postseason. They got to the playoffs and they won 2 straight. So Aaron Rodgers had won 8 straight games and got the Packers to the NFC Championship game, where they had no business being, going up against Matt Ryan and the Atlanta Falcons. The Packers defense that year, they weren't a top 5 defense in the NFL. The Packers defense weren't a defense that was getting a lot of stops. They weren't creating turnovers. Aaron Rodgers dragged the Packers to the NFC Championship game in 2016. In 2014, I think the Packers got to the NFC Championship game again that year, going up against the Seattle Seahawks. We've talked about other quarterbacks in the NFL who've had a top 10 defense that they were playing with. Tom Brady has had a top 10 defense multiple times in his career when he was playing with the New England Patriots. The one time Aaron Rodgers had a top 10 defense, he won the Super Bowl. So he's went on deep playoff runs with the Green Bay Packers multiple times without having a top 10 defense in the NFL. So, yes, I believe Aaron Rodgers revolutionized the way we view the quarterback position. Outside of Patrick Mahomes, we have never seen a quarterback play at an elite level and have the skill set that Aaron Rodgers has right now. We haven't seen it before. So, I know everybody want to talk about Aaron Rodgers only has 1 Super Bowl. Aaron Rodgers is 1-4 in NFC Championship games. Aaron Rodgers doesn't play well in NFC Championship games. He has, I believe, 21 touchdowns, 17 interceptions in NFC Championship games. So it's fair if you want to say Aaron Rodgers doesn't play well in NFC Championship games, although I have an argument that can go against that as well. But it's undeniable that he's revolutionized the way we view the quarterback position, right along with Patrick Mahomes. As great as Tom Brady was, as great as Joe Montana was, as great as Peyton Manning was, as great as Drew Brees was, none of them can make plays and have the mobility that that Aaron Rodgers has, and the only quarterback that we have seen come close is Patrick Mahomes. So, yes, I believe Aaron Rodgers revolutionized the way we view the quarterback position. Let's transition back to some NBA. Everybody remember, go follow the Wise Guys on Twitter at Wise Guys _H, also on Facebook, Wise Guys. Be sure to follow Wise Guys on Instagram at These Guys No Sports. Let's talk about the Toronto Raptors, as Raptors general manager Masai Ujiri, he says that Kyle Lowry is the greatest Raptor of all time. So let's talk about it. Recently, there was a list of the greatest Raptors ranked. I'm going to read it to y'all. I've seen this on social media. So coming in at number 10, you got Fred VanVleet. Number 9, you got Valanciunas. Number 8, you got Jose Calderon. Number 7, you got Damon Stoudemire. Number 6, you got Pascal Siakam. Number 5, you got Chris Bosh. 4, you got Vincenity. 3, you got DeMar DeRozan. 2, you got Kyle Lowry. So according to this list, and according to Masai Ujiri, general manager of the Toronto Raptors, Kyle Lowry is the greatest Raptor of all time. So let's start off with that. I got a lot of respect for Kyle Lowry. Kyle Lowry, for his career, he's averaged 15 points per game, 4 rebounds per game, 6 assists per game on 42% shooting. He is the ultimate floor general. He has been a tremendous point guard in the NBA. I wouldn't associate Kyle Lowry with being great, but I think he's good. He's a 6-time All-Star, won an NBA championship in 2019. He was on the All-NBA third team in 2016. He has been loyal to the Toronto Raptors and their fans, and he is one of the greatest Raptors in NBA history. And I understand why Masai Ujiri would have Kyle Lowry being ranked number one, because of his loyalty, because of his dedication to winning for that franchise, you know, because of how he has, you know, been a great marketer for the Toronto Raptors, and he embraced playing in Toronto, you know, in Canada, and, you know, obviously has a great relationship with Drake. I get why there are people that would say that Kyle Lowry is the greatest Raptor of all time. But there are other players that play with Toronto Raptors that I would say has had a better career than Kyle Lowry. One of them is DeMar DeRozan. DeMar DeRozan is a 4-time NBA All-Star. He was on the All-NBA second team in 2018. Okay, DeMar DeRozan, for his career, he averaged 21 points per game on 46% shooting from the floor, 5 rebounds for his career. And during those years while he was in Toronto, DeMar DeRozan was the best player on those Toronto Raptors teams. I always said the reason why they couldn't get to the NBA championship because LeBron James was their kryptonite. LeBron James, when he was in Cleveland, he was dominating the Toronto Raptors. But the best player on those Toronto Raptors teams was never Kyle Lowry. It was always DeMar DeRozan. DeMar DeRozan, even though he's not a great three-point shooter, DeMar DeRozan is a great mid-range shooter who shot at an elite level in mid-range. I think he's one of the great mid-range shooters we have in the NBA. He's also a tremendous free throw shooter. He shot 83% from the free throw line in his career. He's also a player that can get to the rim and finish at the rim. He is an elite scorer. So I've never felt like when DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry were playing together in Toronto, I never felt like Kyle Lowry was the best player on those Toronto Raptors teams. Also, you can make a legitimate argument that during his tenure with the Toronto Raptors, Chris Bosh, the only advantage that Kyle Lowry has is loyalty. And he was the longest tenured star with the Toronto Raptors. I think Vince Carter was there for multiple years as well. I'm going to get to Vince Carter here in a bit. But Chris Bosh led the Toronto Raptors to the postseason multiple years while he was in Toronto before he went to Miami. And Chris Bosh played pretty well while he was in Toronto. And he was the best player on those teams as well. Let me look at this here. I'm gonna look this up so I can be, you know, quote everyone correctly. He led the Toronto Raptors to the postseason twice in his tenure when he was in Toronto. Twice. He only played in the NBA 6 years. And so both years he led the Toronto Raptors to the playoffs, it looks like. So you can make a legitimate argument that Chris Bosh was more even talented than Kyle Lowry. I mean, that's up for debate. But there is no denial. It's undeniable that Kawhi Leonard, in his one season with the Toronto Raptors, was the greatest Raptor of all time. In his 1 year, Kawhi Leonard, he averaged 27 points per game, 7 rebounds per game on 50% shooting from the floor, was the finals MVP for the Toronto Raptors. And I just mentioned earlier how I believe if Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson never get injured, I believe the Warriors would have swept Kawhi and the Raptors. But given what happened and the circumstances and how Kawhi Leonard brought a championship to the city of Toronto, you can make a legitimate argument that in his one season, Kawhi Leonard accomplished more than even what Kyle Lowry accomplished in his 9 seasons he was there. So, you know, I don't understand where Masai Ujiri is coming from. I get it. I understand why there are individuals that would say that Kyle Lowry is the greatest Raptor of all time, but there are other players who I believe were more talented than Kyle Lowry. And the only reason why you would say Kyle Lowry is the greatest Raptor of all time is because of his longevity with the franchise and how loyal he was to that organization. Like, I'm looking up Vince Carter right now. Like, Vince Carter, 8-time All-Star, won the slam dunk contest in 2000 as a member of the Toronto Raptors. And while he was in Toronto, I'm looking at his numbers. While he was in Toronto, this is Vince Carter. Vince Carter, he averaged 25 points per game, 28 points per game, 25 points per game, 21 points per game, 23 points per game. You know, while he was in Toronto, Vince Sanity was a big deal. He was a great player for that organization. I don't include Tracy McGrady in this conversation because Tracy McGrady, he wasn't with Toronto long enough. He was only in Toronto for 2 seasons. That was the beginning of his career. So I don't include Tracy McGrady in this conversation, even though Chris Bosh was in Toronto as well for 2 years. But Vince Sanity was the star of the Toronto Raptors when Tracy McGrady was in Toronto. He was the star. And then while he was in Toronto, Tracy McGrady, he only averaged, you know, 7 points per game and 10 points per game. So he wasn't even in the prime of his career while he was in Toronto. But again, there are multiple players that I would say were more talented than Kyle Lowry. But when you talk about the greatest of all time, you're not talking about particular just talent. You're talking about longevity, and you're talking about loyalty to a franchise. That's why I always say I don't think Kevin Durant is Mr. Thunder. I think that's Russell Westbrook because of his longevity and his loyalty to that franchise. Kevin Durant obviously is a better player than Russell Westbrook. He was the best player on those Oklahoma City teams while he was in Oklahoma City. But he has never been committed or loyal to Oklahoma City like Russell Westbrook was. So I understand why Masai Ujiri would say Kyle Lowry is the greatest Raptor of all time. But there were other players on that, you know, team who were more talented during their franchise history. Kawhi Leonard, Vinsanity, Chris Bosh, DeMar DeRozan. Let's transition and let's talk about the young NFL quarterbacks on the rise in the NFL. Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, and Baker Mayfield. We all know the young quarterbacks in the NFL. They're all competing to win a Super Bowl. Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Baker Mayfield, Justin Herbert, Tua, Joe Burrow, you know, Justin Fields, Trey Lance. All of these young quarterbacks, they are trying to win a Super Bowl. But I want to talk about these three young quarterbacks in particular. And that's Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, and Baker Mayfield. Who will win a Super Bowl first? Let's start off with Josh Allen. Josh Allen, his head coach is Sean McDermott. Josh Allen, he went to the Pro Bowl last year, second team All-Pro last year as well. He was second in NFL MVP voting behind Aaron Rodgers. He's the first player in NFL history to have 4,500 passing yards, 35-plus passing touchdowns, and 5-plus rushing touchdowns in a single season. Okay. Also, Josh Allen, when you look at Josh Allen, he led the Buffalo Bills last year to the AFC Championship game, and he played decent in that game. You know, he's had some moments in the playoffs where he hasn't necessarily played very well. He's 2-2 during his time, you know, as quarterback for the Buffalo Bills and being the starting quarterback. So in 2018, his rookie year, he had 10 touchdowns, 10 interceptions, threw for over 2,000 passing yards, rough rookie campaign. 2019, he had a very good sophomore season, 20 touchdowns, 9 interceptions, threw for over 3,000 passing yards. But that particular year, the Buffalo Bills, they got to the playoffs, and in my opinion, Josh Allen unraveled in the playoff game going up against Deshaun Watson and the Houston Texans. But last year was his best season. He had 37 touchdowns, 10 interceptions, again, threw for over 45,000 passing yards. He was outstanding. And I've said in the past, you know, that he's a franchise quarterback that you can build your franchise around. Okay. Let's transition to Lamar Jackson. Won NFL MVP in 2019. First team All-Pro in 2019. Most single season rushing yards by a quarterback. He had over 1,200 rushing yards in 2019. He passed Michael Vick for that feat. He has the most 1,000-yard rushing seasons by a quarterback, which is two. He had one last year, and he had one in 2019 as well. For his career, 68 touchdowns, 18 interceptions, threw for over 7,000 pass yards. In the playoffs, though, he struggled. He's 1-3 in the playoffs, 3 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, completing 56% of his passes. Y'all know this past year, Lamar won his first playoff game against the Tennessee Titans. And then Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield, he won Rookie of the Year in 2018. In a season where he had 26 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, threw for over 3,500 passing yards. Y'all know in college he won the Heisman in 2017. For his career, 75 touchdowns, 43 interceptions, threw for over 11,000 passing yards, completing 62% of his passes. He's 1-1 in the postseason. Although last year I thought Baker Mayfield, he disappointed me in the playoff game against the Kansas City Chiefs. Y'all remember the Chiefs, they lost Patrick Mahomes in the playoff game. So I thought Baker Mayfield and the Browns should have beaten the Chiefs and got to the AFC Championship game. It didn't happen. But Baker Mayfield in the playoffs, he has 4 touchdowns, 1 interception, 467 passing yards. Okay. So when you ask the question, who's going to win a Super Bowl first? Will it be Josh Allen? Will it be Lamar Jackson or Baker Mayfield? When you look at these three quarterbacks, I believe Josh Allen has a higher ceiling than Lamar Jackson and Baker Mayfield. Josh Allen, he's only had one great season, but he's a better pocket passer than Lamar Jackson is. Lamar Jackson, he's had the best season of the three quarterbacks because he won an NFL MVP award in 2019. But he's not a good pocket passer like Josh Allen is. Baker Mayfield, on the other hand, he has the best roster from top to bottom than Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson. Even though the Buffalo Bills got to the AFC Championship game last year, heading into this season, I believe Baker Mayfield has a better roster from top to bottom than Lamar and Josh Allen. But that doesn't mean Baker Mayfield will win a Super Bowl before Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson. This is tough because I believe this is comparing three young quarterbacks who all have a chance to win a Super Bowl at some point in their career. And we are basically, you know, trying to nitpick on who will have an opportunity. But I'm going to take off Baker Mayfield. He has the best roster from top to bottom. But if I'm ranking young quarterbacks, I'm ranking Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen ahead of Baker Mayfield, period. Baker Mayfield had a tremendous rookie season. But when I look at it, it's Cleveland Browns. They have an elite receiver in Odell Beckham. They have a great running back tandem with Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb. They have a great defense being led by Myles Garrett. In free agency, they brought in Jadeveon Clowney. So you know Jadeveon Clowney and Myles Garrett can both rush the passer at an elite level. They also brought in Troy Hill in the secondary. He can also create havoc for your team. When I look at the Cleveland Browns, the only question mark we have is Baker Mayfield. I believe in Kevin Stefanski as a head coach. We see Baker Mayfield have a good season last year under Kevin Stefanski. 26 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, threw for over 3,500 passing yards. He had his best season under Kevin Stefanski. So I have no questions about the Cleveland Browns roster from top to bottom. As a matter of fact, you could make a legitimate argument that Cleveland Browns have the best roster in the NFL from top to bottom. The only questions we have about the Cleveland Browns are Baker Mayfield. If you insert any other elite quarterback, Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes, Dak Prescott, if he's healthy, Tom Brady, Russell Wilson, if you insert them as a starting quarterback for the Cleveland Browns, the Browns will be favored over the Kansas City Chiefs in the AFC, even with Patrick Mahomes. Put Aaron Rodgers on the Cleveland Browns. Put Tom Brady on the Cleveland Browns. Put Russell Wilson on the Cleveland Browns. They will be favorite over Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. So I'm going to take Baker Mayfield out of this conversation as the quarterback who I believe will win the Super Bowl first. So now it's down to Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen. And this is very hard for me because I believe both of these quarterbacks are franchise quarterbacks that you can win a Super Bowl with. I do. But I have to be consistent. And I always say your number one job as a quarterback is to throw the football down the field and to be a consistent pocket passer. You have to be a consistent, pure pocket passer in order to be a franchise quarterback. And I believe that is Josh Allen. I love Lamar Jackson. Won NFL MVP in 2019, won his first playoff game last year but I don't believe Lamar Jackson is a consistent, pure pocket passer like Josh Allen is. And I think in order to win a Super Bowl, you have to be able to throw the ball consistently in the pocket. So I'm going to give the edge to Josh Allen slightly over Lamar Jackson. If Lamar can be consistent at throwing the ball in the pocket more consistently, he may win a Super Bowl before Josh Allen. But right now, given what I've seen from everyone, including Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, and Baker Mayfield, I don't think Lamar Jackson can throw the ball down the field consistently from the pocket just yet. So I'm going to give Josh Allen the edge. Also, when it comes to head coaches in the NFL, Sean McDermott is a quality and a proven head coach. Now, you're going to say, come on, Trey, John Harbaugh has won a Super Bowl with Joe Flacco as his quarterback. He's one of the best coaches in the NFL. Of course, John Harbaugh is an elite coach in the NFL. I know what John Harbaugh has proven. But at one point, before Lamar Jackson took over for Joe Flacco, John Harbaugh, his job status was unclear. And I love John Harbaugh. But I'm going to give Josh Allen a slight edge over Lamar. And I think this Buffalo Bills team is a Super Bowl caliber team. They are a true Super Bowl contender in the AFC. We know the Kansas City Chiefs are the favorites. But Buffalo deserves to be in that conversation as well. They'll win the AFC East. I think they have the best quarterback in the division. We know the New England Patriots have a quarterback competition right now with Mac Jones and Cam Newton. But neither Mac Jones or Cam Newton are as good as Josh Allen is. I have my issues with Tua in Miami. Tua, in my opinion, he doesn't anticipate throws at an elite level just yet. Like sometimes I feel like Tua is passive and he's not flinging the football and reacting, you know, at an elite rate. So that's my issue with Tua. Like I think Tua sometimes he's processing the game a little bit slower. Doesn't mean he can't at some point prove to be a quality franchise quarterback. But right now I'm taking Josh Allen over Tua as well. So Josh Allen's the best quarterback in his division. And he's a top 10 quarterback in the NFL. Lamar Jackson has accomplished more than Josh Allen because he has the NFL MVP. But I'm taking Josh Allen over Lamar slightly, just slightly, as the quarterback that can win a Super Bowl first. So when it comes to Josh Allen, Baker Mayfield, and Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen will win a Super Bowl before Lamar Jackson and Baker Mayfield. Let's transition to some NBA. Let's talk about NBA 2K ratings. As the NBA 2K ratings came out last week, let me read them for everyone. Damian Lillard, he came in being rated 94. James Harden came in being rated 94. Luka came in being rated 94. Joel Embiid came in being rated 95. Joker, 95. Kawhi, 95, Steph, 96, Giannis, 96, KD, 96, LeBron, 96. So Kevin Durant said that he should be ranked 99. So when you talk about NBA 2K ratings, let me go ahead and put this out there. Ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, Kevin Durant is the best player on the planet. He's the best player on the planet. I know the Greek Freak just won Finals MVP, and he just won his first NBA championship and he won the first championship for the Milwaukee Bucks since the 70s. And I know he had the greatest, arguably the greatest closeout game in NBA Finals history in game 6 against the Phoenix Suns. And also in that game, Giannis hit 90% of his free throws, something we would have never thought we would have seen. He played outstanding in NBA Finals. Had moments after moment where he proved he was the best player on the floor. In game 4, in a crucial moment, down the stretch, Devin Booker threw a potential alley-oop pass to DeAndre Ayton, and Giannis deflected the basketball and made a tremendous defensive play. The way he was able to recover on that play was amazing. In game 5, after Devin Booker got down in the paint and Jrue Holiday was able to strip him, Giannis putting his hand up, signaling to Jrue Holiday to throw the alley-oop and catching the alley-oop, almost hitting his head, you know, on the side of the backboard was amazing. But Kevin Durant is the best player in the NBA. Kevin Durant is fresh off a season where he averaged 27-7-6. He shot 54% from the floor. He was absolutely amazing in the playoffs. He almost single-handedly beat the NBA champions in the semifinals of the Eastern Conference playoffs. He had a compromised James Harden he was playing with, no Kyrie Irving, and in the series against the Milwaukee Bucks, the man averaged 35-11-5. I'm going to say it again. 35-11-5. And if his shoe size was a half size smaller, the Nets would have went on to the NBA Finals because they would have beaten Trae Young and the Atlanta Hawks. With all due respect to the Atlanta Hawks and what they were able to accomplish this year, Kevin Durant and the Brooklyn Nets would have beaten the Atlanta Hawks in the Eastern Conference Finals. And they would have been representing the Eastern Conference in the NBA Finals. And so you never know what could have happened once the NBA Finals rolled around. Maybe Kyrie Irving returns back to the lineup. Maybe James Harden can get back to close to being 100%. But it's levels to this. And I believe Kevin Durant is on another level. And as great as Giannis is and what he was able to accomplish for the Milwaukee Bucks, capturing an NBA championship, he isn't on Kevin Durant's level. He's not. Kevin Durant is a more skilled offensive scorer than Giannis could ever dream of being. Kevin Durant is a better free throw shooter than Giannis. Kevin Durant is a better perimeter shooter than Giannis. Giannis has better athleticism than Kevin Durant. And the only thing that you can criticize Kevin Durant for is not being in the weight room because he's slim and he's skinny. And you can get him down in the low post and you can body him down in the low post. Although his defense has gotten much better as well. Since his time in Golden State playing with Steve Kerr and how Steve Kerr preaches defense, Kevin Durant is a better defensive player now. But I'll give Giannis the edge when it comes to athleticism. But that's about it. That's about it. Defensively, Giannis, he's a better defensive player than KD. So, okay, we'll give him that. I'll give Giannis that. Defense and athleticism. But everything else, I'm giving the edge to Kevin Durant. Now, before I sign off here tonight, I know I'm going to have witnesses, LeBron James fans, who are going to say, what about LeBron? LeBron James is still the best player in the world. Worry about LeBron. Kevin Durant is better than LeBron James as well. That doesn't mean that LeBron James and the Lakers can't beat the Nets this year in the NBA Finals. But right now, give me Kevin Durant over LeBron James. Now, we're talking about 2015, 2016. LeBron James was still the best player in the world. But after 2017, Kevin Durant has been the best player on the planet. It's not up for debate. I know we like to debate and argue and try to, you know, play devil's advocate on certain stuff and try to give pushback on certain arguments. But Kevin Durant is the best player in the NBA, and he should be ranked 99 on NBA 2K. I love NBA 2K. I play with my cousins all the time, but they got this one wrong. Because you're basically saying that LeBron, Kevin Durant, and Giannis, and Steph are all on the same level. And I disagree with that. I disagree with that. You got Kawhi being ranked 95 overall, but I would rank Kawhi over Giannis. See, I think Giannis should be switched out for Kawhi. Because right now, I'm still taking Kawhi, LeBron, and KD over Giannis. Giannis is a top five player in the NBA, but give me Kevin Durant, LeBron James, and Kawhi Leonard over Giannis right now. Everybody, remember to go and follow Wise Guys on Twitter at WiseGuys_H. Also on Facebook, Wise Guys. And be sure to follow Wise Guys on Instagram at These Guys Know Sports. Happy Mamba Day. That's tomorrow, Tuesday, August 24th. Today is Kobe Bryant's official birthday. He would have been 43 years old today. RIP to the Black Mamba, the greatest to ever do it in my eyes. I'll see y'all Wednesday night, same time, same place on the Worldwide Sports Network. And go and follow Wise Guys and the Worldwide Sports Network on all social media platforms. Y'all have a good night.
You're listening to the Worldwide Sports Radio Network.